God is good. And
all the time.
Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. Is it warming up out there? I think it's going to stay below 80 today. I really do. I'm talking about humidity. What are you talking about? Yeah, I hope it'll stay below 80% humidity myself. But anyway. Thank you. One nice thing about this year, my age is the same whether I'm dyslexic or not. 44. Wow. Anyway, thank you very much. That was nice. Now I'm all flustered. Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you. As you all know by now, my name is Eric. And I'm the pastor here, and I welcome you this morning to this amazing church. Every day that I'm pastor here, I just know more and more how amazing the people are in this church, and I give God praise that we are a pastoral family here. Jamie and I and the boys do. So thank you so much for being here, and as we gather together to worship God, if you would turn in your bulletin this morning, let's start with the connection card. If you would fill out the connection card, put your name, address, telephone number. Make sure you look at the back side of that. For several weeks, we talked about different teams that are under the I'd Like to Serve in Ministry portion. There are many things that happen under those ministries that we can't list. Otherwise, we would have like three bulletins. So, if you have questions about any particular one, make sure you call the office or ask someone here in the church, and they might be able to direct you to a person that would know. A lot of great things happen under those overall titles to those ministries. But if you would put your name, address, telephone number, turn that in the offering basket. If you're visiting with us today, your offering to us would be to fill this out, put your name, address, and telephone number so that we can greet you properly and say thank you so very much for worshiping with us today. Make sure you pay attention to the insert. On one side talks about our 160th homecoming celebration and the pictures that we'd like to get, if you have any of those. On the opposite side are our Cliff Notes for this week, our study guide that Cliff prepared. And I invite you to take this home along with the joys and concerns printed on the back of your bulletin and keep this beside your prayer chair so that you have a little devotion each and every day this week. All of the announcements in the bulletin are important, as always. But please notice one, well, it's a couple here. There's a new circle or maybe an addition to the current circle. I'm looking for eyes of approval here, but I don't see Sharon. There she is. And so they're looking for Younger Women's Circle Forming, I guess is the title that they have there. We have several circles in the church that do a lot of great things and have a lot of fun. And they are, although women of every age are always invited to those circles, they are making sure that you understand that. And there is a dinner out, correct?
Yes.
On Thursday, September 2nd at Vernice on the harbor. And they would like to make sure that everyone knows that they are invited to that. Right? The cost is $14, okay? So make sure that if you're not involved with one of the circles, that you know that you are invited to be involved in that. And if you can't attend that particular night, please talk to Sharon that you just saw stand there so that she can let you know what's going on in that regard. Also, photo directory sign-up sheets are out in the entryway. So make sure that you stop by and sign up for that. Now remember, it costs you nothing. If you sign up to get your picture taken, you'll get a directory. You can purchase pictures from that setting if you choose. But we want everyone who attends here to be a part of that pictorial directory, so please do that. Also, small groups are, there's a sign up sheet for small groups out there as well. Please make sure you sign up for that. It's just an amazing ministry that is expanding It started as a small group, and now those leaders are, now those people that attended that first small group are leaders. And Mildy Brashears, you want to wave your hand there, Mildy? And that way, if you have any questions, you can talk to Mildy. She is leading that for us. And also the sign-up sheet back there. Is it Discipleship Bible Study 5? If you've been a part of Disciple Bible Study 1, 2, 3, and 4, we're doing a 5, and so make sure that you inquire about that as well. So, again, the sign-up sheet is right out there. We also have a special announcement this morning. Deanna, would you do that for us?
Good morning. For the past several months, and after numerous Pastor Parish Relation Team meetings, and I mean numerous, and late into the evening, and going over 30-some applications for an associate pastor, I am so very honored to announce that we have hired an associate pastor. Thank you. Yeah. His name is Justin Grifford. He is 28 years old. He is married. His wife's name is Stacy. She is 25. Very, very dynamic couple. I know some of you had the privilege of meeting them when he was here for his interview. I think we are going to find a very, very wonderful person in this man. I think he's going to bring great things for us as a congregation. I think he is going to work wonderfully with Eric. And most of all, I want you to know this. When we voted on this as a Pastor Parish Relation team, it was unanimous that this was the individual for our church. And being with this team, working with this together on this, there was God all over it. I don't know how any more to explain that, but I am very privileged to have been a part of that, and I thank my congregation for letting me do that. And again, we so await Justin and Stacy's arrival. We hope they are to be here by somewhere around the 1st of October. They have been out of the country for the past year. They have been in Korea teaching English. So right now, they're getting reacquainted and spending time with family. Justin's family is in Arkansas, Stacy's family is in Alabama, and they're just spending some time together with family. So keep this in your prayers. I know you have all along, but please continue to keep them in your prayers as they make the move to our community and our church. And again, thank you.
You, Deanna. I do have to say, you know, We met in homes, the staff parish did, and after meeting in a home, the spouse of one of the staff parish members was downstairs and watching TV or something, and they came up after the meeting, and they said, you know, I just thought this was going to be a long, boring, arduous process, you know. But she says, I heard you guys laughing so much, I want to be a part of the SPRT. So the team worked together in amazing, amazing ways, and I tell the team over and over again that God is just blessing this church with their leadership. And so I want to thank the team as well for all of their hard work, literally hours upon hours. And so thank you, team, very much. So we have, yes. Yeah. Again, as we begin worship today, and as Marion begins us with a prelude, focus yourselves, celebrate what is taking place in the life of this church, celebrate how God is blessing this church in so many ways, and center your heart and your mind and your soul upon the one who created you and loves you. Let us begin.
and join in a couple of songs of praise. Here I am to worship. The words are on the screen.
Sing with us today, praising God. God, we come before you today. We humbly come before you today, Lord. We cannot imagine what our sin upon that cross must have been like. You are worthy of our praise, God. And as we come together to worship you, Lord, we ask for your powerful healing, your mighty Holy Spirit to wash over us. May your Spirit fill every dark corner of our lives, Lord. Where there's negative thoughts, may your glory overpower them so that they know that you, Lord, you alone are the creator of all that is. Where there is sin, Lord, may your Spirit empower us and heal us and forgive us. In Jesus' name. Dear God, you know, whenever we come together, we, as a healed and free people, we should be dancing, we should be praising, we should trust you enough, Lord, so that the worries of the world melt away. And so today, God, maybe for the first time in our life, can we worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name, worry-free. Can we truly experience your freedom, God, so that we can open up our minds to you, the possibilities of who we could be. We love you, God. Make us one with each other. And one with you in Jesus' holy, holy name.
So kids, come on down. And I believe Linda Nelson's got a message for you this morning.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. morning. What a nice group we have here. How many of you like to be a cowboy or a cowgirl? Do you still like that? If I show you a picture, and I'll start this picture around, I have a plate here. Can anybody tell me whose picture this is on this plate? Anybody recognize these people? You don't recognize them?
No.
Have you ever heard of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans? Well, let's look in the congregation. How many people out here have heard of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans? Look at that. Yes, we don't want to forget Triggers on here, too. Now, you might wonder why I have a plate with their pictures on it. Well, we built a room on a few years ago, and we have a little bit of a Western theme in it, and we have a series of plates from TV Westerns, and this happens to be one of them. Let me tell you a little bit about Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. They were in the early 40s, 50s. I remember watching their TV shows on Saturday morning. He also made movies. But they were more than movie stars. They were devoted Christian people. In their living, in their words, in their writings, and they taught really good morals to young kids. What I didn't realize, there is a TV station called RFD, and it has purchased Trigger and Bullet, their dog, and they are going to start the Roy Rogers movies again in November on Saturday mornings because they believe children need an alternative to what they're seeing on TV right now. And, you know, that is really a praise God that stations do care what children are watching. But what I didn't realize about Roy Rogers is he started a Roy Rogers Writers Club. And if you joined that club, you got a card from them, and it gave you 10 rules to follow, and you signed that card and carried it with you, and you were a member of the Roy Rogers Writers Club. Let me read you these 10 rules, and you see if they're not pretty good rules for young boys. And they may be bringing these back for children because they think the Rogers family thinks it's so important what their parents stood for that they would like to see this to be revived. Number one, be neat and clean. Think that's a good rule? Be neat and clean. Number two, be courteous and polite. Think that's a pretty good rule to follow? Number three, always obey your parents. Parents, is that a good rule to follow? Yeah. Number four, protect the weak and help them. Number five, be brave but never take chances. Number six, this is a good one since you started back to school. Study hard and learn all you can. Number seven, be kind to animals and take care of them. How many of you have pets? Do any of you have horses? Do you like horses? Number eight, eat all your food and never waste any. And number nine, love God and go to Sunday school regularly. And number 10 is always respect our flag and our country. Well, I'm glad today that you got to see a picture of Roy and Dale because they were really the embodiment of goodness, fairness, and love of God and country back when I was a child growing up. And I think it's really important what you watch. And because what you watch is just like we learned in our sermon last week, sometimes those thoughts get in your head and that's the seed you sow. So I thank God for people like Roy and Dale who stood for Christian values and really cared about the youth in our country. So today we're going to close with a prayer that Roy wrote. It says, if you'll bow your heads with me, please. Lord, I reckon I'm not much just by myself. I failed to do a lot of things I ought to do. But Lord, when trails are steep and passes high, help me ride it straight the whole way through. And when in the falling dusk I get that final call, I do not care how many flowers they send. Above all else, the happiest trail would be for you to say to me, let's ride, my friend.
Now, while the kids are collecting money for missions, if you've got change in your pockets, dig deep. They do a great deal for us. I see in the bulletin it says they've collected $4,600 for apportionments. And while they're doing that, we're going to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit. It's in your hymnal, number 334.
We're going to sing it.
Okay. What a nice song. I like that song. We have to look at our bulletins here. And I want to remind you that on the back are prayer requests that are given to us and are listed here in the back of your bulletin. Please remember to pray for these people listed. They could really use your prayers. Put this list somewhere where you pray and remember to pull it out and pray for them. Now, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful summer day. May we use this day to praise you and to glorify your name. We feel your presence within us, in our hearts and our minds, and we're so grateful for that privilege. You hold us up and you encourage us every day, and we thank you for your word and your guidance. Please help us to remember to read your word and search it, because it is there that we will find great words of wisdom for living, and we will get to know who you are and know how blessed we are to be one of your very own. Also, Lord, please help us to seek you through prayer, not just here in church, but in our daily lives. We need you, dear God, like the air we breathe. We would ask this morning that you'd be with the sick and the hurting in this church community. We ask for your healing and for your comfort for each one. We ask that you would help us each live lives pleasing to you. Help us to spread the good news in our communities. May your anointing be on the message this morning. May we be attentive and open to what your Spirit is putting on our hearts. We love you, Lord, and we're grateful for all your many blessings in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to have a message and song this morning from the Camino team. They're going to sing Jesus My Lord and I Am the Resurrection.
Oh,
Thank you all. While they're moving down to the pews, our scripture for today is taken from the book of Colossians. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. Now, for those who may not know, where is the book of Colossians? Is it in the Old or the New Testament? The New Testament. Now, you can almost literally turn to the back of your Bible to find the book of Colossians. And you just turn back through the book of Revelation, and you'll get to Hebrews and the Timothys and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and then you'll run into the book of Colossians. Please turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 12. Once you find that, if you would close the Bible on your finger, stand with me if you're able. Let's raise those Bibles high above our heads this morning and say our Bible pledge loud and proud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm really excited because this week begins a three-week teaching series on Wesley's three simple rules. That sounds like something to get excited about, doesn't it? Wesley's three simple rules. Getting excited about rules, I don't know about that. But, you know, today I want to focus on do no harm. And, you know, it's pretty easy to hurt one another, isn't it? Pretty easy to hurt one another. As a matter of fact, when it comes to the human race, I would say most of us have PhDs in how to hurt one another, don't we? Really, honestly. We really do. We are excellent at hurting one another. I mean, after all, there are so many ways to do it, right? Find fault in your child's work after they've worked so hard to please you. Being silent when maybe a compliment to your spouse would be the most appropriate. And now, guys, I understand. Sometimes we don't really know how to respond, right? I understand. But understand that a compliment is a good thing, right? A compliment is a good thing. How about ignoring a family member when they are so excited to show you something, especially young children? Or how about, you know, that disapproving eye? That can happen from across the room, can it? Yeah. I've said this before, but for me, one of the most scary things with regard to preaching is realizing that no matter how hard I try, something I say will hurt someone. Something that I say will hurt someone. It might be an illustration that I think is maybe funny, and because of an experience in your life, you don't think it's funny at all. And matter of fact, it hurts. Right? Or maybe another story that I told you makes you aggravated because of something that you have gone through in your life. And no matter how hard I try, many times I still hurt people. Now, I'm not talking about, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about making you feel uncomfortable, right? I'm not talking about you walking out of here thinking, oh man, I shouldn't be doing that, right? Because that's what I'm supposed to be doing, right? But I'm talking about that deep hurt. When something has happened in your life, or maybe something that you're going through right now, that something that I say just brings all that up and hurts you deeply. Think about how we react to people. If someone says something hurtful to us, What do we want to do back? Now, don't lie. If someone does something hurtful to us, what do we want to do back? We want to hurt them back, don't we? Now, that reason kicks in, hopefully. But at first, our first reaction, right? Right? Yeah. You know, it's been going on in the Holy Land for years. One side bombs the other, and the other side bombs back, and then the first side bombs again and in a more felt place, and then the next side bombs back again, even in a bigger, see what I mean? It just keeps growing and growing. It's as if we're wired that way. Even children, right? Someone pushes somebody else, and they push back, and then the first one pushes back harder, and on and on and on, right? Like I said, it's like we're wired that way, but something I've never figured out is are they that way because we're wired that way, or are they that way because they see adults acting that way? I've never figured that one out yet. But you know, we're not the first that struggle with a way to live without hurting one another. It was even bad enough that the Apostle Paul wrote several different scriptures in several different books about how to treat one another, and especially treat those that are in the church. Even Jesus said that the most important commandment was, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And you know the second one? What is it? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Right? So what are we to do? What does it look like to follow those two very important commands? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. How does that look? What does it look like to follow them? Well, we are blessed because the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, wrote what we call Wesley's three simple rules. Now, I realize we don't like rules, right? But I believe this is one area that we talk out of both sides of our mouth. Because I've seen how people react, and we like people that live by rules, don't we? We kind of know what to expect from them, don't we? I've seen it over and over again. In my family, I'm a fifth generation teacher, and it has been talked about over and over again how teachers that have rules and have a line, and anyone that crosses that line gets the same punishment. Students like that person. They know what to expect from that teacher. Over and over again, it's been proven that years later, they'll come back to that teacher and say, "Man, you really affected my life." But those teachers who tried to be their friend first and their teacher second, they kind of forget about those teachers. The same is true with parenting. Any parent that tries to be a friend first and a parent second, their kids don't have respect for them in the same way that a parent who is a parent first and a friend second. Because why? Those kids need to know where the lines are. They need to know how to live. And they want to know how to live. Even though you ask any youth, and I'm not going to put them on the spot today, you ask any youth, they will say, "I don't like rules." Right? And yet, as they look back in their life, the teachers and the parents that they respect, even if it's not their own parents, the teachers and the parents they respect are the ones who had rules, who had guidelines, and they understood where that parent and that teacher was coming from. So even though we as adults say we don't like rules, we really do. We may not admit to it, but we really do like rules. So we have Wesley's three simple rules. And how do these rules work? You know, of course, Wesley said simple rules, and I'm not sure that that's the case. But this movement began as a movement of small groups or classes of no more than 12 men. Now, what is it that is very popular, or has been very popular the last, say, 10 years in church work? Small groups, right? Isn't it interesting? The Methodist movement began with what? Small groups. Hey, we ought to be ahead of the game on this one, shouldn't we? Right? This church wouldn't exist without what? Small groups, right? So, you know, Wesley began this movement. He didn't even want to begin a movement, by the way. He wanted to improve the spiritual depth of people that were in the Church of England. Right? People came to him and says, you know what? I don't like what's coming. I want to know how to be apart from the wrath that is to come. How do I do that, Reverend Wesley? How do I do that? And Wesley said, well, let's talk about this. Let's conference together and see what we can do. And the idea was that if you wanted to be a part of these classes, is what they called them, instead of small groups, if you want to be a part of these classes, you have to live by these rules that are based on the command that Jesus said was most important, right? Love the Lord your God and what? Love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, this is another sermon, but you know what the second one implies, right? Can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? Just a thought to take home with you. All right. So we have three simple rules, and they are this, that Wesley created for these societies, these classes. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Three simple rules, right? Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Now, I wanted to tell you, by the way, if you want to buy this book, it's a great book to use, read right before bedtime, probably. It's the Book of Discipline. And actually, I find the history of the church extremely cool to me as I read this. But in the discipline, we go by paragraphs instead of page numbers. So if you want to look at this, Wesley's three simple rules are at paragraph 103 in your Book of Discipline. Write it down. I know that we'll run out of disciplines in the office because you'll all come looking. So, but in 1739, 8 or 10 persons came to Reverend Wesley in London who appeared to be deeply convinced of sin and earnestly groaning for redemption. We don't use those words anymore, do we? Groaning for redemption. Is anyone here groaning for redemption? We really should be. But we just don't use that language anymore, do we? Groaning, but that really kind of puts it down there in the gut, doesn't it? Groaning for redemption. They desired, as did two or three more the next day, that he would spend some time with them in prayer and advise them how to flee from the wrath to come, which they saw continually hanging over their heads. So as they met together, they began to form these three simple rules. And the first was, now listen to the language of this, by doing no harm, by avoiding evil of every kind, especially that which is most generally practiced, such as taking the name of God in vain. You mean they had that problem back in the 1700s? I thought that was something new in the 21st century. No? Profaning the day of the Lord, either by doing ordinary work therein, remember Wesley wrote these, or by buying or selling. Would we be in trouble or what?
Trouble.
Yep. Three, remember this is by doing no harm, by avoiding evil of every kind, especially that which is most generally practiced, such as drunkenness. And he includes in that buying or selling spirituous liquors or drinking them, of course, unless in cases of extreme necessity, right? Now, I do have to explain that a little bit because Wesley, whenever he sent out his pastors, right, which used to come here when this church first began, right, they would have this book on how to react to infections and things that are wrong with people. Why? Because doctors didn't travel. Doctors weren't even really around. We'd probably get sued if, I mean, you can read the book that's available on how Wesley suggested that his preachers react to these things, right? But at the time, it was all they had, right? And so I'm sure he's talking about with infections, you pour alcohol over the person's wound or whatever it is that's wrong with them, right? Stuff like that. So it sounds kind of funny, but that's where that's coming from. But listen to that, buying or selling. Not just drinking, but buying or selling of spirituous liquors. Wow. Slaveholding, buying or selling slaves. We're okay with that. fighting, quarreling, brawling, brother going to law with brother, returning evil for evil, or railing for railing, the use of many words in buying or selling. Sales folks, you need to look at that, right? But you know, interesting, brother going to law with brother. You know that when we're Christians and we're in church, we're not to take our fellow Christians to court that's outside the church. You realize that, don't you? From the very beginning of the Methodist Church, that's why there's a jurisdictional branch of the United Methodist Church. Well, back then it was Methodist, right? That's because if you have a complaint against your brother or sister, you take it to the church's court. That's the biblical way to go about doing it. Here, just in the last few years, has things gone outside the church. And unfortunately, it's probably because the church wasn't doing a good job of taking care of itself in those situations. Right? Now remember, what these are things, if you want to be a part of these small groups, you will not do these things. Because this is doing harm. This is doing harm. The buying or selling goods that have not paid the duty, the giving or taking things on usury that is unlawful interest, etc., etc. This is all under do no harm. Do no harm. And yet these small groups grew. They were so powerful that they got out of control and ahead of the Wesley brothers, John and Charles. They had to think up new ways to be able to keep folks from falling off the wagon, so to speak. And that's one of these things that these three simple rules are about. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. So Wesley believed practicing one simple rule, do no harm, would change our world. And quite honestly, it's wisdom that you already know, right? I mean, think about it. Look before you leap. Have you heard that one before? Right? Count to 10. We hear that in parenting all the time, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Calm down, in other words, before you react, right? Think before you act. Take a breath before you say something hurtful, something you'll regret. Doesn't mean that the wrongs won't go away. But if we can train ourselves to pause and pray, we can create opportunities to break the cycles of violence. Amen? And that would be, quite honestly, an excellent beginning. The lower region of our brain generates an instinct to strike back. It's called fight or flight. Black or white, fear lives there. No humor lives there. This is where vengeance is born and the cycle of violence is renewed. But if we can learn to move up into our higher brain, we can choose a higher way and a higher love. That is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Do no harm. Take a breath. Don't hit back. Bring out your best, not your worst. No gossip. No trashing others. No judging. No condemnation. Count to 10. Choose the high road. Are you getting the point this morning? Do no harm. For just a moment. Be with me here. Are you with me? For just a moment, think about a time recently when you faced a conflict. Think about it. You have one? How did you respond to that conflict? Don't say it out loud. Just have this conversation in your head. How would this simple rule, do no harm, have changed that conversation? You know, one place where we have harm done all over the place is email, right? Facebook, texts. And a lot of those words are sent out innocently, but the problem is people don't realize there's no facial expression. There's no tone of voice. And we, our brains, without even considering it, our brains are looking at body language and stuff when we hear words to know where people really are coming from, right? Right? Yes, no, maybe? And so when we text, when we email, right, when we do Facebook and all these things, we're not thinking about that people can't see our body language or people can't hear our vocal inflections, right? You know, we get in a lot of trouble. I mean, think about all of, now granted, not everybody agrees with our president, right? Not everybody agreed with the last president we had, right? But does that give us an excuse to spread things that go around on emails? I know if emails went around, well, maybe they are, but I hope not. If emails went around about me that go around about our government people, I would be deeply hurt. And maybe that's why our government folks really don't care, because they can't. Because they would be hurt so deeply if they cared. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe we're the problem. The United States keeps saying it's their problem. We got to get different people in there. Well, the problem is the different people can't handle the criticism that we throw their way. Do no harm. Every time we hit send on an email that sends that negative, you know what out? Does no good, and it does a lot of harm, right? Do no harm. Take a breath. Don't hit send. Think about what you're doing. Think about how that's going to be received and the fact that you cannot take that back once you hit send. It's just kind of like a word coming out of your mouth. You cannot shove it back in there, right? It's gone. It's out of there. Do no harm. Now, you have to understand, there are a lot of vulnerable people out there. And those vulnerable people, that's hard to say, those vulnerable people need us to stand up for them. Amen? This is not what Wesley is saying. Wesley is saying, think about what you're saying. Pray about how you're going to respond. Look before you leap. Do no harm, a simple rule, but it's not really easy, is it? But this is the Jesus way, in my opinion. This is the way that he taught. He chose the high road, and he wants us to follow that road. We all know there will be conflict down the road. Spouses won't always agree, right? Children won't always agree with their parents. Friends, communities, nations may find it hard to agree at all sometimes. There is so much conflict. There really is so much harm. But Wesley calls us, and it comes straight out of Scripture, do no harm. And you know what? How I wish I could teach this in such a way that it becomes an innate part of who you are. Innate means it's a part of your genes. That's what innate means, right? It's a part of your genes. I wish I could teach it in a way that you would do no harm. Think about how that would change your life. Just for a moment, dream, and think about how that would change your life if every time you spoke with people, you were thinking, do no harm. And then think about how it would change this church, because what is the church? Or who is the church? So if do no harm is a part of your innate ability, right? It's also going to be a part of the church's innate ability. Do no harm. Well, I pray that we can consider this. I know many of you out there already do this, but for those of us who are having trouble, pray for us that we can be strong and always have this on our mind. Do no harm. If you would join me. Let's begin today. Amen? Let's say it together. Do no harm. Take a breath right now. Take a deep breath. Let it out slowly. And in your breath prayer, today, tomorrow, the coming months, say, do no harm. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, do no harm. Say it with me. Do no harm. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing congregation, a place to gather in a safe place, Lord, so that we can truly experience your presence in our lives. We give you thanks, God, for this gift. We give you thanks for all those who are sitting around us, God, and help us, give us strength, give us courage to follow the first simple rule that Wesley has for us, and that is do no harm. Bother us, God, into a changed life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cliff, would you mind coming and saying a few words to the congregation about Camino?
While I'm up here, will the Camino family come forward, please? Earlier, Eric was talking about small groups in the church. One of the small groups in the church is our Camino community, and we have people from Camino, people who went to the Walk to Emmaus, people who went to Crecio, make it up. Camino is a Spanish word. Means journey or way. So a Camino in Christianity is a journey in Christian living or a way in the Christian faith. All of us singing up here today, and including Jamie on the keyboard and John over there on guitar, and a number of others that are either out of town or unable to be here today, have started this phase of their Christian journey by attending a weekend for either Camino, Walk to Emmaus, or Crecio. Men and women, when they go, they attend different weekends. Married men and women are encouraged to make a joint commitment with a husband going during the first weekend. You must be 21 years of older to go, and yes, singles may also go. A few of the topics covered during this weekend include relationships with God and neighbor, growth in Christian living, obstacles to our Christian growth, the environment around the Christian, and the sacraments of God's grace. Our next weekends are scheduled for the men October 14th through 17th, and for the women October 21st through the 24th. If anyone out here would like to go, we'd like to have you meet with one of us, contact one of us. Any one of us would be happy to sponsor you for that weekend. We'll make sure that you get to the church, and that church this year is at West Plains, and we'll also make sure that we pick you up and bring you back. You'll go down on a Thursday afternoon and come home on a Sunday afternoon. And I can guarantee you, you'll come back changed. There'll be a couple of surprises that will take place during the weekend that we won't be sharing with you in advance. Think of it as a Christmas or a birthday present or a Christmas present. We told you everything that was going on during that weekend before you got there. It'd be like you sneaking a peek at your present before it was time to open it. Then you would also miss out on the excitement again. But the person giving it to you will also be missing out on that same excitement. And it is, as Eric would say, an exciting weekend.
Not boring, in other words?
Not boring in the least.
All right.
If you think you might be interested in going to Camino Weekend, and they are held about two or three times a year, ask any one of us up here for more information. As a group, we meet for a meal, fellowship, and devotion on the second Monday of each month. Now for our song of invitation, ask everyone to rise. Please stand and shout to the Lord.
All right. You all know this song. Sing it out today.
Thank you. think of you. So let's clap our hands and like we're having fun.
All right. I like that. Don't forget, next week, if you're curious about First Church or considering becoming a member, everyone, even if you are a member, are invited to Newcomers Class. It's right after worship. It actually will be right after Lunch Bunch. Can't forget Lunch Bunch. 1 to 4 in the chapel. So as you leave from this place today, know that you are a child of God. Can you remember that? Say it with me. I am a child of God. Say that. I am a child of God. Say it again. I am a child of God. Do you believe that, really? Thank you. Live as if you're a child of God. Go from this place feeling, knowing without a doubt that you have God's presence all around you. God empowers you with every decision that you make. Open your heart up to His presence. Open your senses up to all that He does for you. And go from this place with God's powerful, powerful presence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you. Amen.
Good week.
You do the same.
Great seeing you. 45 days out of school for that.
That would be a privilege for me. I'd carry one every day, decided to have it going.